Our message this morning is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes. And we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 5, two Beatitudes today. Last week it was four of Beatitudes, and today it'll be two. Next week I'll do the remaining of just the blessed are attitude. So, if you will turn with me and we'll look at verse 7, entitled Finding True Blessedness.
That's
the true joy that we find in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Beginning with verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
That's right.
Now, as we look at our introduction this morning, kind of set the focus for this message this morning. Again, as I said last week, the Beatitudes are part of a larger discourse known as the Sermon on the Mount. And this is entitled, taken from Matthew chapter 5, and there's three chapters that involve Jesus sitting on the mount, speaking to his disciples and the multitude that were gathered around Christ. And it says again in Matthew 5, 1, I want to go back and read verses 1 and 2 to set the scene here of what was taking place. When Jesus saw the crowds, and Jesus always moved when he saw the crowds. He was always moved with compassion. The same way it is in our lives today. He has compassion for each one of us. And when he saw the crowds, verse 1 says, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Disciples always wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. You know, I always want to know what God's Word is going to say and how it's going to speak to me every time I open it up. Because there's something new, something that I need to hear. Each and every one of us need to hear. And it says he opened his mouth and began teaching them, saying. So, these words, the words of Jesus, the sermon, it's jam-packed with spiritual insight. And we need to look at it in depth, verse by verse, and that's what we're going to be doing through these Beatitudes. And then finding the blessedness, we see this is part two. We're going to be looking at specifically verses 7 and 8. So, first of all, let's look at blessed are the merciful. None of us deserve that, do we? Mercy. We don't deserve it. But in reality of this verse, justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is getting what we don't deserve, right? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Now, the mercy received by the merciful does not happen by chance or accident. It doesn't happen that way. God doesn't work that way. And in certainty, a personal or spiritual principle established by the one true God, he establishes and he sets these before us. Help us to understand. And James picked up on this in chapter 2, verse 13, when he said, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Now, we know that Jesus shows mercy. And later in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then verse 15, But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. Now, Jesus did that when he came to the earth and died for us, right?
Yep.
So what mercy and grace he showed us. And sometimes it's hard for us to show mercy or grace, isn't it?
Yep.
Especially if we are offended or somebody crosses us in the wrong way.
Yep.
But the scripture said, Jesus said, you know, I forgive you, you need to be willing to forgive one another. So we need to keep that in perspective in our lives. When it even enters our mind, okay, you offended me, so I'm done with you. Well, I'm glad Jesus didn't say that about us, right? And we mess up it every day, somewhere, somehow.
Yep.
We mess up. And sometimes we just call them mistakes, but they're sins, aren't they?
Yeah.
Actually, when you come down to it. And in Matthew 18:35 and Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them.
That's right.
Now, he doesn't mean if they offend you, get back even with them. That means the good things that happen to you because of the Spirit of God working through them to comfort you or to show compassion, you do likewise. Even if they don't, you do it anyway, right? That's how Jesus worked, and that's what he wants us to do. So, the golden rule, everybody knows the golden rule, do unto others as you have them to do unto you. That's the good one.
Now,
if we practice that every day and in the spirit of love, you know, this would be a different world, wouldn't it?
That's right.
So if we want to receive mercy, what do we have to do? We have to show mercy.
That's right.
Now, so what actually is mercy? You know, I'll give you some hints and so forth here. But the Greek word for mercy in the New Testament can be traced back to the Old Testament, which means a sympathy which is not given, as it were, from the outside. Okay? But which comes from the deliberate identification with the other person until we see things as he sees them.
Okay.
Or feeling things as he feels.
Okay.
You know, it's seeing through someone's eyes, through your eyes, how they feel, how they respond. And it's a type of sympathy which refers to experiencing things together with the other person. And we do that often, don't we? We've experienced that recently in our community with the loss of a young man like Carson, how the community came together. Many of us and a lot of people didn't know Carson Hughes and so forth, and other incidents in our community or in our neighborhoods and so forth. But we come together, we support. We want to identify in some way. We don't always know how people feel, but we can be there for them and be sympathetic and show sympathy with them. And so it's also, you know, Bible says don't judge someone until you walk a mile in their shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Of course, we're not to be judging anyway, right?
That's right.
We don't judge.
No, we don't judge.
But we can do one thing. We can be fruit inspectors.
That's right.
Don't
judge.
But we can help one another when the need comes. So merciful people realize their own unworthiness. And I do. And I'm sure you do. And the need for God's pardon. And I'm thankful God pardoned me of my sin back when I was a young man.
Yeah.
Now, having known God's grace and forgiveness in our lives, our own lives, we want to forgive and help others. along the way. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And a paraphrase to this verse that I just read is, joyful are those who can see through the eyes of others and feel their feelings, be there, hurt with them, feel with them, and so forth, for they will find that others do the same for them, as so does the Lord. Now, another paraphrase for this could read, joyful are those who show mercy through forgiveness, kindness, compassion, for they will receive. So, what this scripture is telling us, if we're willing to forgive, if we're willing to be show kindness and compassion, then we will find mercy ourselves. All through the Gospels, as you read it and as you it speaks to you, you can see how Jesus went from city to city, healing people. He looked at them, at the multitude or individuals, and he had compassion on them. That compassion was that unconditional love that Jesus has for each one of us. And he is a great example and demonstrates how mercy and grace works in our lives today. And that's how we are to show it as well. Now, let's move on to verse 8 where it says, blessed are the pure in heart. So that's a soul-searching thing right there. The pure in heart. We all want a pure heart. We want a clean mind. We want all of this to be adaptable in our lives as the Holy Spirit works in and through our lives. See, there's an old saying that goes like this. It's the mountain ahead that fear that wears you out. It's the rain of, I'm sorry, it isn't the mountain ahead that wears you out. It's the grain of sand in your shoe. How many of you ever got a rock or sand in your shoe? It kind of slows you down, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You know, that working out in the yard, whatever I do, or some, I get a grain or something in my shoe, and I've got to stop, and I've got to get it out, right?
Yes, you do.
And that's the same way with sin, isn't it?
Yeah.
It gets in your life, and it hinders your relationship, your walk with the Lord. You got to stop. You got to pray. You say, Lord, I got to get this rock, this sand out of my soul, out of my inward parts, in order for me to function the way you want me to function. So I believe that this saying might be referring to, you know, if a man worried for fear, he would not be able to cross a mountain, and he had to stop miles before he crossed the hilltop, it might be because he didn't take time to clean out his shoes. And that's the way it is in our spiritual life. With that being said, eager to avoid big sins in life is an outwardly to be, you know, extreme piety in our lives. Sometimes we do that. But if there are hidden perfections, little pebbles in our shoes, these are the cause of failures in the Christian life. This causes us to come up short. That's why Romans 3:23 says, you know, there's none righteous, none at all, no, not one. But he is willing to forgive us, according to 1 John 1:9, if we are willing to confess our sins, and he is willing to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about it. One tiny piece of dirt in a carburetor can keep a truck or a car from functioning. Even a flat tire, right, Bob? Brenda and I, back in 1985, that's when we had moved to Florida, when I went to Bible college, we had to come back to a funeral. my uncle had passed away. I had a part in that service. And we come back a few days earlier, but we went through Atlanta, Georgia, and I think Six Flags Over Georgia was like 10 miles from Atlanta. So we decided to stop there for the day and let the kids, our three kids, enjoy a day at Six Flags Over Georgia. That evening came, it got late and so forth, and we was going to drive on home back to Tennessee, Mount Memville. And Brenda said, why don't we take the scenic route through the mountains? And we did, right? You remember that, don't you? She's not doing this or this either one, so I don't know if she remembers or not. I remember 1990 Honda Accord was all in Accord, okay? In one Accord, right? Yeah, you'll catch on. But we was in a 1990 Honda Accord. It was getting around 10, 11 o'clock at night, and we still had a few hours to go. And I started at that mountain, and I had the accelerator almost to the floor, and I was doing 30 miles per hour. I told Brenda, this is not good. Not good, is it, Bob? No, not good. But there was nothing open that time of night, and I thought, well, as long as it doesn't stop, die on me, we're just going to keep moving on. So it took us another 2 hours to get home at about 30, about 40, 45, all I could get out of that car going downhill. So we arrived in Mount Memville about 2 o'clock in the morning, got a good night's rest, got up the next morning, I said, I got to find out what's going on. So I thought, it has to be in the fuel system. Sure enough, I took the carburetor off, took it apart, and there was one little speck of black dirt that was in the float where it goes up and goes out into the engine, two cylinders, that was blocking the power of that. You see what sin does? One little speck, one little thing gets in our lives. It can slow us down, almost put us to a dead stop. And then that's where we go to the Lord and say, you know, help me fix this. And he will. But that's a good example of what this verse is talking to us about this morning. So when we're looking at the Greek word for pure in spirit, it's the term for cleansing. And we all need that cleansing daily. We were cleansed back when we accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and he cleansed us of all sin, past, present, future. But we need that daily cleansing in order that our carburetors, our hearts, is always clear and clean, and we are running smooth in our lives, being able to focus and concentrate on what God's calling in our life is. So in Jesus' time, the Jews put great emphasis on the outward or the ritual purity. But here Jesus stressed more important purity on the inner life. And that's our relationship with Jesus Christ. So see, sin can hinder our relationship. It doesn't erase what he has given us as far as eternal security or our relationship as far as salvation. But it can hinder our relationship. It can, you know, cut off the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So Jesus' emphasis in the interest of real purity, that is of the heart. The heart stood for the whole inner self. And of course we have the heart, which is a muscle, and it pumps blood through our lives as the Holy Spirit pumps the energy that we need to survive on spiritually to live a life for Christ. So the heart stood for the whole inner self, mind as well as feeling. Purity of the heart is the, I call it simplicity, or the integrity of our lives. It's the focus of the whole self upon God. We're focusing on God. You know, we can't walk this journey on this earth by ourselves. We cannot do anything on our own. Matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 15, without me, it's impossible for you to be a true disciple. You want to be. You know, Paul says, the spirit's willing, but the body is weak. Why? Because we have fleshly bodies. But we don't have to dwell on that. We don't have to yield to the flesh or the body. And that's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you know, if we be in Christ, old things have passed away, but new things have come. And those new things are the things that we have in Christ Jesus. So this means when we serve the Lord, we need to check our motives. What are our motives? Are they good? Are they pure? Are they clean? We need that daily cleansing. So the power, the pure heart, are those who have been cleansed from within. And what a joy that is. What a great feeling that is to know that your conscience, your heart, they're all clear. And God is able to work in our lives with clarity. So this is not an outward righteousness that can be seen only by man, but inward holiness that can be seen by God. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 tells us this way, that without holiness, no one will see God, further emphasizing how it is the pure heart who will see God. And it could be put this way, joyful are those whose motives are always unmixed, for they shall see God. That's why it says, blessed are the pure in spirit or heart, because they will see God. Another way to put it is, joyful are those, you know, who have been purified from the inside, being made clean and holy, for they will see God. You know, we can see God in the lives of others. Others can see the life of God in us. And that's why it's so important to allow God to live His life through us daily. And people know if you've been with God, right? In Acts chapter 4, I love reading that chapter. I love reading Acts because it's always talking about the Holy Spirit. But when the people saw the disciples coming, and they saw them uneducated and unlearned and so forth, but they saw something different about them other than just the physical side, as a lot of times we look at people. They was looking at something much deeper in their lives, because they saw a changed group of men because they had been with Jesus. That's what the scripture says. They was unlearned, they was uneducated and all that, but they saw that they had been with Jesus, and that's what made a difference with the disciples when the people saw them. They knew there was something special and different about these men. They knew what they had done as far as their professions and life, where they'd been, their families and so forth. But they saw something different because they had been with Jesus. People will see something different in our lives when we spend time with Jesus on a daily basis. Our attitudes, our outlook on life will change, and people will know the difference. All right. In conclusion this morning, we have seen two more realities that run contrary to the world, what the world sees or what the world thinks. And Jesus said if we can grasp these realities and just walk in them, it will lead us to true blessedness, which will having a life full of peace. And I want to say that divine joy that we can have. Now, a lot of people interpret the blessed are those poor in spirit, blessed are those are all the others as being happy. The happiness doesn't last, does it, in our lives? We can be happy, joyful over an event or a moment of something happening, but true joy only comes through the Lord. Now, the first reality is to extend grace and mercy towards others, just as God did for us when He sent His only Son, His only begotten Son, who died for our sins. Now, that's the reality of this verse right here.
Okay.
I'll go back and read it again, which says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." And that's what this reality here is in verse 7. The second reality, blessed are the pure in spirit, is to live with the pure motives and a sincere heart, seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, first of all. And Matthew 6:23 also says, rather than seeking our own glory. So that's what verse 8 is talking about here this morning. That's the reality of life. That's the reality that we are to look for in our lives as Christ lives in and through our lives. So as stated last week, happiness comes and happiness go, right?
Yeah.
It does. It can go, it can come and go in the spur of the moment.
Yeah.
But when we have Christ Jesus in our heart and we know He's there, then that joy never ends, right?
That's right.
It's always like that. Just like God, there's no beginning and there's no end.
That's
right. The true joy in our relationship with the Lord, if we know we've been born again.
That's right.
Saved from our sins. True blessedness and joy comes from above.
That's right.
It comes from the living God instead of ourselves. And for those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you know, one of these days we're going to spend eternity with Him. We will spend, and that's what I'm talking about this morning, that everlasting joy. Nothing like it, isn't it? He would rather be happy or we can have a joyful life that never ends. I like to be happy, don't you?
Yeah, don't worry, be happy.
But I like joy that I have in Christ Jesus much more.
That's right.
Because I know happiness don't always
put him and take care of it.
It's not always there. But we can always experience joy in our relationship. And that joy goes a long, long ways when you're trying to help others as well and point them to Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father God, we praise You and we thank You so much for the realities that we learn from these Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And Lord, we can place ourselves right there on that mountain. When You went up on the mountain, You sat down.
Yep.
And then the people saw what You, where You had gone and what You was doing. They wanted to be with You because they knew You would show compassion. And You already knew why they were, a lot of times why they would come seeking You, because they wanted something maybe physical. They wanted You to feed them or heal them. But Lord, You gave them always something much, much better. You gave them wisdom, a wife, the way to have a relationship with You, how to walk with You, and have the complete joy and the peace that surpasses all understanding. And many of those who are downtrodden and depressed, they weren't even happy. But when they met You and You taught them and You showed them what these Beatitudes would mean in their lives, it opened their eyes, it opened their hearts, You knew exactly how to reach people. You did it in a practical and loving way, the same way as you do today. Help us to be your instruments. We are your instruments. We are your ambassadors. We are a people that you have chosen to get your word out, to get the gospel, to spread it. You started in Jerusalem and went to Judea, Samaria, then here in the United States and other parts of the world.
Okay.
So we thank you, Lord, that you just didn't stop in your hometown, but you went throughout your creation. And that's what you intended. That was your plan from the very beginning. But you know the hearts of man and how they will respond. You know how we'll respond this morning in hearing your word. If we have a teachable heart, an open heart, a sensitive heart, then we will respond to your invitation and make things right with you, and you will make things right with us. Because of your love, your unconditional love. Lord, thank you that you never give up on us. You always have a plan for us, and you want us engaged in that plan with you. Whatever it is in our lives today, whatever we brought in this morning, that's not good for us, may we just leave it at the altar this morning and leave it here with that joy, complete joy. And then that way, it opens up doors for us to share with others our changed lives. Whatever the decisions are this morning, Lord, make them clear to the working of your Holy Spirit. We thank you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.